Welcome back to another episode of the Build Show Podcast. That's right, guys. This is my time to go deep and get into those topics that I just don't have time for on YouTube. And I got a really fun guest with me today. This is a big deal, guys. This is an announcement that I've been waiting to tell you guys for a long, long time. But if you haven't heard, the Build Show Network, that's that website that I started, buildshownetwork.com. We started with 4 or 5 contributors. And we're trying to expand that. We're trying to get more builders, more tradesmen, more designers on the Build Show Network so that no matter what trade you're in, no matter what stage of building you're in, either building your own house or building for other people, that there'll be more and more content for you that will really speak towards building a house that's more durable, more comfortable, more healthy, all those things that I talk about all the time on YouTube. And there's a ton of like-minded builders, remodelers, designers, tradesmen out there that also have that teacher mindset. And that's exactly who I'm going to be introducing you to today, my buddy Doug Cameron. So that being said, today's Build Show from the Rockwool Studios here in Austin, Texas. Let's get going. All right, guys, my friend Doug Cameron. Doug, so good to see you, brother. If you haven't heard, Doug is the newest contributor to the Build Show Network. And Doug and I go way back, back to almost the start of my company, Doug. What do we meet in, like 2005, 6, 7?
Yeah, I would say it was probably about 2006, maybe early 2007, and I was working production building. I had just fallen down a flight of stairs, actually. I was wearing some Doc Martens.
Oh, I'd forgotten
and,
this.
And I just hit my head real hard, and I kind of came out of that, and I was just kind of just rethinking my whole life, and I ran into this cabinet installer, and we were talking. I was telling him about my dreams to start my own company, do a sustainably minded building company. And he's like, man, I've got this guy you need to talk to. So he connected me with this cabinet maker named Jeff Mitzel.
Oh my gosh, I totally forgot this part of the story.
So Jeff is like, yeah, buddy, yeah, you need to talk with this guy. I don't know if there's such thing as an internship program or a mentorship or anything like that. Jeff had just come out of like the computer world and started a cabinet shop. And anyway, so he was like, man, you need to talk to this guy, Matt Reisinger. So I was like, give me his number. And I called, and Matt was just the nicest guy, the most welcoming guy. And, you know, I really was kind of flying blind with starting my own company. I started very early in things, and Matt was super helpful. And we just kind of kept in touch off and on for years.
I tried to hire you, Doug. I don't know if you remember that. I think I made you a formal job offer even, didn't I? I think I did.
You know, it was just one of those things. The stars didn't quite align in regards to that. And I was very interested in learning from you. But at the same time, I always had this entrepreneurial spirit where I just really wanted to go out and do my own thing. And, you know, with your help early on and just with some good networking from here in Austin, I was able to really get my company off the ground pretty quickly and had some early successes that made me feel like I should just kind of stick with it.
So, 100%.
So yeah, but Matt was over in this very small, tiny office. I remember taking one of his baseball caps, like it was like a golf cap or something. He was like, would you really wear this? And I was like, oh, sure, I would.
The early Reisinger Homes logo,
you remember
right?
It, right?
With the leaf olive and branch.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Long before the Build logo was around.
That's right. And Matt was literally a one-man show. I think maybe he had a guy that picked up his books like every week or so.
That's right.
But that was it. And he was doing some really cool houses. He jumped in.
I was doing spec houses at the time.
That's right.
Which, if you've heard my podcast, that was a giant failure for me.
I guess it was, but I think it really gave you the opportunity to build a bunch of homes really quickly and connect with some great architects and kind of jump in and get the ball moving with your company.
For sure. So it was marketing money is really kind of how I look at it now. And of course, anytime rough things happen in life, we're able to look back on them and go, oh, God had a plan through that terrible time in my life.
That's right.
Was it. But man, I was not good at spec houses, Doug. I lost 300K on my last one that I completed in 08.
I remember you telling me that you had to let the cleaning lady go at that time in your life.
It was bad.
Yeah.
It was bad. I really thought that it was likely that I was going to get foreclosed on my personal house and have to move my wife and my young baby and my pregnant wife. into an apartment or something. And by God's grace, I was able to hang on and pay that debt off. But this is not the Matt Reisinger podcast. This is the Doug Cameron intro podcast. Doug, tell us your story starting. So you actually started your company in 07 here in Austin, Texas.
I did.
And did you start out knowing that you were going to do design build, or was that something that you came upon later?
I came upon that later. So I started out just wanting to be a green builder. That was what was in my head at the time. I don't like that term much these days, but yeah. Green builder. I was like, yeah, I want to be a green builder.
Mm-hmm. And so when you started in 07, 08, you were a one-man show just like me, right? 100% subcontractor based. Were you doing client projects? Were you doing specs? What were you doing?
Well, I had no money, really, to be honest with you. So it was a very bootstrapped startup. It was
is pre-marriage, pre-kids, too, right?
Yeah, my wife and I were together at the time, and we were not married yet. And she was helping me. She had a kind of more stable job, and I jumped in and just had this brilliant idea that I was going to go out and be a builder. I was working for a large production builder previously, and so I felt like I had picked up some good skills. But I mean, I was literally just 2 years and some change into building. Wow. And prior to that, I mean, I did not know what was in a wall in college. So you were talking to somebody, not somebody who's like dad was a roofer or had a construction company and they'd be doing this their whole life. Like, I knew nothing.
I didn't know that about your background. Yeah, that's so
nothing,
funny.
Nothing.
20 years later, it's a whole different world, isn't it?
It is. And that whole 10,000 hours statement, that's very true. And yeah. I've dumped lots of time into this field. And
you've got your 10,000 in a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A long time ago. So I jumped in and really, used some credit cards to get there, all sorts of things. I had this grand idea of starting with a spec home as well. So that's kind of where I was going. I had some files and stuff from my previous job that I was just kind of using as representative numbers of how to orchestrate what I was going to do with this new build. Mm-hmm. And so then, I don't know if all these listeners remember, but when the economy fell out from under us right around that time, and so all of a sudden it became really challenging to get loans and do much of anything.
08-09 was terrible.
Right? So
even 2010.
That's right. So I switched gears and jumped heavy into remodeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I connected with a guy named Jay Billig, and he was doing some design build. Hmm. And he came from a family of like 10 people and 10 boys and sisters, brothers and sisters. And they had grown up doing, I guess they knew all kinds of stuff about construction.
Wow.
Kind of not like my upbringing. And so Jay had been doing design build for a while. And I was struggling at the time to get in and find that niche demographic that I was after.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the encounters I was getting at that time were kind of like, how quick, how cheap, it was very black and white scenario. Right. And
I need this and what's the number?
Right. And I was just so off put by that arrangement. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do something special with my life. I wanted to be special.
It felt soulless, didn't it?
Oh, those yeah, kinds absolutely. Of jobs.
Like
absolutely.
Your production builder or my production builder is.
Oh, yeah, I did. So so Jay and I met at the city of Austin. Interestingly enough, now I remember the moment. And I was sitting there and jacking with something for a permit and for something I was doing. And David Weber, the architect I worked with many years later, he was sitting right by us. And now as I'm thinking about it, I remember David Weber being there all those years ago.
For those of you who don't know him, he's a really well-known architect here in Austin and just does fabulous work.
Right, and we got to collaborate on that Vimana project, that Fort Surrey, just beautiful building, beautiful home out by the lake.
Yeah, I got to visit that one. That was a cool project.
Yeah, thank you. So anyway, Jay had somehow figured out that niche demographic that I was after, and something that I should mention about myself is I like to consider myself an artist. So mm-hmm. You'll see a lot of my hashtags. I'll put the artist builder. And it's definitely a self-proclaimed statement, but it's something that is very important to me. And so growing up, I always did art my whole life. My mom had me doing arts and crafts as a wee kid, and that was just what I always did. And I got super good at it. And so in high school, I took all these advanced art classes. And college, I kind of put it down for a little while. And then I picked it back up around 2005 and started doing a lot of painting and all kinds of stuff like that. And so I was really getting back into art. And when I started working with Jay, what I saw is that Jay was handling building, but he was also doing the design. So it was a design build scenario. And the way he spoke with clients with this confidence about colors and what they should do and everything. And it wasn't a kind of like, hey, what do you want to do? It was what you should
do. Here's what the building wants to be.
Right. And I was so tickled by that. And I watched. And Jay and I, we worked together for about, I want to say about 2.5 years. And he pretty much made me the build end of the design build team. I still had my own company, so it was kind of a scenario where I was left to my own devices with my own company. I didn't have to put my own company away or go work for someone. I was able to work with someone and collaborate. And he was able to find all the work, and it was pretty good paying jobs. I kind of started out with a bathroom remodel down in Barton Hills. And he also supplied me with two gentlemen to work with, Neftali and Pedro, and they only spoke Spanish. And they were probably like $10 an hour guys, to be honest with y'all. And
do you speak Spanish, Doug?
I do, yeah.
Are you pretty fluent?
I am, yeah. I got the opportunity. I'm a Spanish minor, and I got the opportunity to live in Costa Rica for two summers with Costa Rican families. And I got married in Costa Rica, and we visit Costa Rica. We're going back in December.
That's awesome.
I love the Spanish language. My wife is also fluent in Spanish.
That's huge.
She's lived in Spain and in Monterrey. And so her accent is far better than mine.
A ton of our trades down here in Texas are native Spanish speakers.
That's right.
If you're not familiar with construction here, whereas other parts of the country, like, you know, for instance, when I was in Portland, Oregon, all my siding contractors spoke Russian.
Wow.
But the pocket down here, because we're so close to Mexico, you know, this framers, drywall guys, painters, most of them, their native tongue is Spanish. Although I've always been surprised and thankful, frankly, because I don't speak Spanish very well besides saying my name and have a good weekend, guys, which I can say quite well in Spanish. Buen fin de semana. Other than that, I don't speak any Spanish, and yet I've been able to muddle through over the years. I'm backtracking just a minute, Doug, but I think the title of this podcast, and one thing that's really interesting to me, is this story of how you became a design builder. And we're not done with that story yet, but one piece I want to fill in that I'm backtracking on, that I'm shocked I don't know, even though I've known you this long, is what'd you do after high school, and what'd you do before you started with that production builder? Can you fill us in on that piece, and then we'll come back to this section now of kind of becoming a design builder?
Sure. So after high school, I went to Southwest Texas State University, now called Texas State in San Marcos. And I kind of went there wanting to be an entrepreneur, not really understanding how or what my skill sets were going to be, or how that was going to, you know, develop in my life. But I always wanted that. And for me, that was kind of a goal of being a liberated human being, just kind of from my outlook.
Yeah.
And so I knew that, and, you know, really honestly struggled through college the first 3 years or so, and did not, I just was sowing some wild oats and having a great time. And, you know, I don't regret a minute of it, but it was a great university, great experience. Joined a fraternity, you know, just kind of got my feet wet with the college experience. And then at a certain point,
did you graduate with a degree from those guys?
I did, absolutely, yeah. So at a certain point, I remember catching myself at my granddad's a really well-known, world-renowned orthopedic surgeon. He's passed now, but in Houston. And so I was walking with him. He would always do walks in the morning. And so I was there for Christmas, and we were walking, and, you know, it hit me, the amazing human being that I was walking with. He was a full-on doctor at 24 years old in the army, saving lives. I mean, I was like, dude, what am I? I'm nothing. Like, I'm just worthless compared to this man next to me. Yeah. And so it kind of lit a fire under my behind, like, to do something, try to be great at something. And it caused me to kind of just question everything I was doing and try to take a new approach. So I got into sociology. I guess I had taken an intro course kind of maybe around that third year. And I just was fascinated by it. The study of society just seemed so relevant to me, really, for everything that is involved with life. And so I had such a great time in that intro course, I decided to switch my major to applied sociology. And so there was a regular sociology and applied sociology. The applied sociology, you had to do an internship, and you had to take these higher level statistics classes and logic and deductive reasoning, and really analyze a lot of science and be able to deduce potential outcomes and results from science. And so I loved all that. And I did super good in my major and it started to kind of really hit my stride. And I was really turned on by school again. And so did all that, graduated, you know, fairly high in terms of the sociology school in terms of ranking and whatnot. Whereas like my first 3 years were pretty much garbage compared to that. So yeah, I graduated, I got that minor in Spanish as well. I had such a great time in Costa Rica that, I was like, can I please go back there and do my minor? And they let me, I had to write a letter to school. It wasn't a normal thing. And they gave me special permission to go back and complete my minor there.
Wow.
I was so happy. I loved Costa Rica. I lived in San Jose with these families and there's a beautiful mountain valley around me. And on the weekends we'd go to all over the coast. And, you know, Spanish became so relevant and I loved the culture. And when I met my wife too, we were connected and we both started speaking Spanish together and it blew my mind. She could speak Spanish. And that's kind of what really attracted me to her kind of first off.
That's so cool.
So yeah, jumping out of school, my dad is a teacher and a professor and he's like a writer. And he's probably read every book you can imagine. He's written full-on plays like this thick and Rhyme and Rhythm. And he used to have a theater here in Austin. So he's a teacher. And I didn't really know what I was doing. So I started out substitute teaching. And I became a permanent sub at one of the high schools nearby me. And it was kind of like getting into potentially becoming a coach or something with sports. And I liked it, but I was just kind of struggling being young and being in this high school setting. I kind of wanted out of that high school-y environment. So I was questioning whether or not I really wanted to get into teaching or coaching. And I also somehow had the foresight to see that I wanted to have children. And I looked at the time that a lot of these coaches spent doing school and doing coaching. And I just was like, man, when the time comes that I have kids, I really want the opportunity to be around them and take part in all of their extracurriculars. And if I become a coach, I'm questioning if I'm going to be able to do that. So that kind of came upon me. So I was also pursuing my goal to become a professional football player.
Were you really? I didn't know this about
yeah,
you.
So I was playing semi-pro football on a team called the Austin Regulators with my buddy Justin Montgomery, who's an awesome builder now too.
That's so funny.
Yeah, and so I was playing defensive back, and oh man, I was killing it. I was having a really good season, and. And anyway, so I was doing that, and Justin had just graduated. He was my good buddy. I trained him working downtown here in Austin on 6th Street at Amazon Bar like a few years before. And so I had kind of, you know, gotten him in on something. And then so a lot of us worked downtown on 6th Street that went to Southwest Texas. So we were like the guys that worked at all the bars. And
that's so
oh,
funny.
Man, it taught me a lot of social skills.
I bet.
You know? Yeah.
If you're not familiar, 6th Street is the famous street in Austin, Texas that all the UT kids hang out on. And young adults, it's filled with cool bars and live music. And it's hopping just about every night of the week down there.
That's right. Yeah. So, and it really will up your game with being able to talk to people, being able to hold their attention, because a lot of the interactions are very quick and brief. And if you're like kind of long-winded, people just kind of lose interest in what you're saying. So mm-hmm. I've noticed all the people that work at bars have the ability to like keep your attention quickly in short spurts. So Justin just happened to had started working at Lennar Homes. And his dad was a roofer growing up. And so he did know all about construction. He understood all that stuff. And so we were just hanging out and, you know, shooting the shit one day. And he was like, man, I think you should come with me and check this out. He's like, you know, what are you doing anyway? And I was like, yeah, I think that's a great idea. Let's do that. So he invited me to come into his community. And it was kind of like the Wild West is kind of how I would term it. You know, there was a few guys. They were the construction managers, and they would just drive around this neighborhood that they were starting up. A lot of these neighborhoods didn't have that many houses in them, and you know, they kind of went from like nothing to something pretty quick. And then after a while, they kind of move on and start a new one not too far down the road, and it kind of start all over again. But you get the opportunity to see the full-on development of an entire neighborhood, including like streets and utilities and the whole nine. So Justin was a badass. He was a really great production builder. I mean, he was probably the top one in the rank. They'd give us rankings like weekly, and he was up there in the top three every single week.
Wow.
And so I had a really good buddy, and we were playing football together, like defensive back. So we had this special bond and relationship. We knew how to talk to each other. And so he definitely believed in me. And so he vouched for me, got me in, helped me get an interview, got a job. And the job was to do warranty work, because obviously I didn't know how to build a house, right? Like I just told you, I didn't really know what was in a wall. And so I got the job to do warranty work. And the path there at Lennar Homes at that time was that you could jump out and go to become a construction manager next. And so I was like, awesome. You know, now I'll gain all those valuable skills that I really don't have. And I've got some good people around me that are doing really well here. Let's do this. So I jumped in, got that warranty position. Really did fantastic at that warranty position. I had that thing down quick. Around me was another guy named Art. And Art was older. He was a construction manager. He was in my trailer. So we had like job trailers we'd work out of. And he realized I could speak Spanish a few months into it. And he was like, he called me Dubidrio. So Dubidrio was my my name.
What does that mean, Dubidrio?
That I would use in when I was in Costa Rica. So it's like, vidro is glass in Spanish. So it was like Douglas. Douglas.
Yeah. Douglas, yeah. Got it. That's hilarious. I love this, dude. This is a great story. And I have that production builder background, and anyone listening to your story knows what the job shack's like,
right?
Knows about the neighborhoods under construction. I mean, this like brings it back to yesterday hearing this story. Keep going, brother.
So Art's telling me, hey, dude, do vidrio. you need to start speaking Spanish. These people will work for you a lot harder and really help you out. And I'm telling you, dude, you want to be successful with this. Start speaking Spanish. And I was like just kind of nervous about it because, like, you know, like, I could speak it pretty well, but I wasn't my native tongue, right. And I was just uncomfortable.
You weren't speaking it for work, normally.
Right. And so all of a sudden, I simultaneously, not only was I trying to kick butt and take names as this warranty position, but I didn't want it to be a warranty person. I wanted to be a builder, yeah. Right? From the moment I came on there, like the warranty was the last thing that I wanted to do long term. So I had to simultaneously ride around. That was a trick Justin told me. He was like, you ride around with old dudes all the time. And you pick their brain, you ask every question.
It's good advice, people.
Mm-hmm. And I would even carry around a little handheld recorder.
Would you really?
Oh, yeah. I had this tiny little recorder because it was so much information. It was overwhelming and I couldn't write it all down.
Awesome.
So I just had this little recorder with me all the time and I always ask questions and then just record the whole thing.
Oh, dude, yeah. That is awesome. You were taking names and kicking butt. That's unbelievable. Dang, Douglas.
Yeah. So so I was doing that and Art got me to start speaking Spanish because that was what he told me I needed to do. So so I started doing that. I started building relationships with all these subcontractors. And eventually, I just hounded my area manager. It was a guy named Gary Grayley, really awesome guy. And I just hounded his butt the entire time. Like, Gary, you know, can I build a house now? Can you give me a house now? And I had all these other guys in on it too. And I was like, hey, start talking to Gary, right?
Oh,
and I was not messing around. Like I wanted to be a builder. And so, anyway, finally Gary just conceded and was like, all right, dude, I'm so tired of hearing you ask me if you can build a house. So about 8 months in, he teamed me with a guy named Billy. And Billy had a house going in this Onion Creek neighborhood, not too far from where I live now. And he was like, all right, you know, Doug, you get to start this one. And Billy's going to kind of like team with you. You're not going to make any money off this or anything, but you're going to get to be in charge of building this house. And that was a huge success. That was a
awesome.
Huge triumph, a huge opportunity. So thank you, Gary Grayley, and all the people that went into it.
And you're like 22, 23 at this time?
No, nah, I was like, I was probably like about 25 or
25,
something.
25, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And so anyhow, got the opportunity to start building that house. And then during this time, the economy's starting to kind of sour a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And things are changing in the production building world. Mm-hmm. Like it started out this amazing place.
Yeah,
and I was like, man, this is special. This is neat. You know, and you had all the opportunity in the world, all the opportunity to grow. You could make some fantastic money.
Mm-hmm.
The learning was the main reason I was there. And
yeah.
I mean, it was just unbelievable how much I could learn, how quickly, and the opportunities I was being put into. So anyway, about halfway through that first house, I was doing great building the house, continued to stay on top of all my warranty stuff. So just like Justin was, you know, killing it with the home building position there, I was always killing it with warranty. I was really good at warranty. And, you know, I was always a good communicator. I started reading the book, too, How to Win Friends and Influence People. My uncle, Bruce, he's a just incredible businessman, entrepreneur, venture capitalist. He was like, hey, you need to check out that book. So I did.
Who's the author on that? I forget. That's that guy from the 20s.
I forget. Yeah, I forget.
30s even.
And I also started reading The Rich Dad, Poor Dad. So those are kind of the two books in my life at that time. So I was just doing really well interacting with people. I was just a smooth operator. Everybody was liking what I was putting out. I was feeling true to myself with what I was putting out. And so I was doing good there. And then, all of a sudden everything just kind of took a turn with the economy and with the state of the production building world. And it was stuff that just was beyond all these people's control. It wasn't something that any individual had done or changed in the company or, like, you know, anything like that. So this opportunity changed, and now all of a sudden the company's like, hey guys, that whole path to builder, we're gonna have to change that. We're gonna have to do warranty is gonna be a career position, and then we're gonna hire builders if we need them. And I guess they could see the writing was on the wall. They weren't gonna need that many new ones. And so anyway, they were like, yeah, all y'all warranty people, just y'all are stuck in warranty. And all the other people, y'all are builders, and kind of watch out, because, you know,
you
might not have a job. Yeah, that's right. And so I went and met with Seneca. He was the director at that time. And I just pled my case to not put me in that warranty spot, because I was in the middle of building that house. And I mean, I begged and pleaded and told him that's the whole reason I took this job, and that's what they had told me when I took the job. So, I was blessed coming out of that meeting, and Seneca was like, all right, man, we're going to let you go fall on that builder side.
Wow. Yeah. So you got to stay on as a builder.
As a builder, yeah. And not one guy from the time I started there went from warranty to builder.
Wow.
I never saw a guy. I was the only one. That whole time.
That's crazy. But you weren't there that long. Would you say 2.5
just
years?
Just 2 years and some change, yeah. So literally I got to stay on as builder. All of a sudden people are kind of falling off because they're getting kind of, you know, canned. And the younger guys are kind of who they leaned on because they had the lower salaries. And so next thing you know, I'm building 27 houses at a time.
The guy who doesn't know what's inside the walls.
27 houses at a time.
Three dozen houses at once. Dozen houses at once.
Yeah, so it was trial by fire, man. Oh, it was crazy. And it was intense.
Golly.
And I was doing it, but at the same time I started to question, is this sustainable? Right? Can I keep this up? Mm-hmm. And everybody was super happy with me. And I finally hit this equilibrium where I was just like, you know, I'm killing it here. But I don't think I can keep up this level of productivity and like keep balancing my life. I just don't think that I'm going to be able to do it. So maybe I should just get out while the getting's good and while everybody still likes me and, you know, I, you know, can get a good referral and all that sort of thing. Maybe I just need to leave. So there was another guy in the company. I think his mom had passed or something kind of dramatic had happened in his life. And so he went out and started his own company, and he probably knew a little bit more about building than I did.
I love it, dude. So, take it till you make it, Doug Cameron story.
That's right. That's right.
Which is my story as well, and probably yours as well.
That's right, hopefully. And so I saw this other guy had started a company, and I was like, man, it's time. I'm just going to start my own company. What the hell?
So awesome.
What the hell? And so I did, and, you know, I got jobs immediately coming out of that, and I was just doing great. You know, I was really good at that productivity, at the scheduling, all that sort of thing. And I had started to really build those relationships by speaking Spanish.
So awesome.
Yeah. So I had, you know, I had a number of great trades that, you know, like at the time, they seemed like great trades to me. And they, you know, were up for working for me, and they worked for a good price and all that sort of thing. So, you know, jumped in. Did that, and then ultimately ran into Jay Billig just about the right time and made that connection. And now all of a sudden I'm sitting in a bathroom with Neftali and Pedro, and I'm going to Home Depot about 16 times a day, speaking only Spanish. And, you know, sometimes the trades that I was able to use were a little bit limited based on some of the budgets. And again, like, these budgets were decent. They weren't like, you know, garbage budgets or anything. But nonetheless, I mean, Jay made me kind of work for it a little bit, especially there at first. And so I got the opportunity to just do remodels for 2.5 years with guys that only spoke Spanish.
And you were hands-on that whole time, right?
Yeah. So I wasn't, you know, sometimes I would swing a hammer, sometimes I wouldn't. More so I was just facilitating. But, I mean, I definitely would go in there and, like, demo a mud set shower, you know, like stuff like mm-hmm. that. So I got to definitely get my hands dirty. But at the same time, Jay just kind of let me go and do my thing. And we were having really good results. And so it was.
So what year is this now, Doug? This is like 2009, 10?
Probably, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when did you actually move to, so your company is ESS Design Build, right? Am mm-hmm. I saying that correctly?
Mm-hmm.
When did you actually move to that, hey, I'm a design build guy and it's in my moniker and that's what I'm known as? Like,
right.
Was that still a couple of years to come, or were you still kind of transitioning to that in this year two or three?
That's going to still be a few years to come.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So how the story goes, just kind of long story short on that, is after Jay and I stopped working together, I felt like I was positioned to kind of be able to acquire the same type of jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I had built up my own reputation. People started to understand that I was capable. I had the confidence now that I was capable. And you helped me with one of the first estimates, by the way, to,
is that right?
To actually help me work with Jay.
That's
I brought
awesome.
An estimate that I met with you. You were kind enough to take the time out
that's
and help
cool.
me whip out an entire estimate
that's
on this
great.
Project.
I love it.
And I'll give you, oh man, this is funny. I'm kind of embarrassed saying this, but I was looking over this these plans with Jay at the time. And I had the estimate in hand that you had helped me with. And we're talking about lighting. And I was like talking about this wall lighting. And I'm looking at the plans. And I said, yeah, those scones. And he's like, did you just have breakfast?
Those scones are amazing with some clotted cream, by the way.
So I didn't know how to say sconce, guys.
Not sconces, that's scones.
That's what I'm getting at.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
So make it till you make it, Doug.
That's right.
Make it till
that's
you make
right,
it.
Man. That's right. So anyhow, after that experience with Jay, I was feeling pretty good. We had started building into bigger and bigger projects, and so yeah, I was starting to get comfortable. And then I decided I wanted to go back towards the sustainably minded stuff. And so for me, I also decided I wanted to have more accreditations and more feathers in my cap and whatnot. So I jumped in and got lead accredited. And I also, what else did I do? Oh, I became an BPI certified, basically as an energy auditor. And so I took some courses in both of those items. And I also designed my own line of convertible designer organic baby furniture, baby and kid furniture.
That's right. I forgot about this.
Yeah. So I was doing all that. And that's when the name EcoSafe Spaces came up, right? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to call these things EcoSafe Spaces. And I'm gonna target as my demographic parents, as they're now kind of in the crux of having a kid, and actually, I might actually have their attention in terms of what type of toxins yeah. are in their environment, in their
totally.
Homes, and all these materials and whatnot. And so I was really into that. And at the same time, I had Cameron Construction going, which was my original company name. And I was doing, I landed a lucky job. My buddy Dustin Mahaffey really hooked me up. He was a realtor at the time, and he connected me on this Old Victorian that was a National Historic Landmark over in East Austin. And, you know, ultimately I got the job, and the guy that I was working on the design organic baby furniture doing the renderings for me also happened to do a lot of architecture and stuff. So he came in and did all of the design, and that was kind of the initiation of my design build team.
That's so awesome.
Right? And so we knocked it out of the park on that project. It was ended up being a wine store. So it was kind of like a retail wine store in the setting of this Queen Anne Victorian that was a National Historic Landmark. And during that time, I got the opportunity to meet Steve Sadowski, the City Historic Preservation Officer, who is really one of my really good friends. And he was so impressed by the design that we were doing and the work. And I got to go visit with the city council. I believe the city council, you know, basically city historic review board on television and all that sort of thing. And
yeah.
kind of testify about
it's
what we
deal.
Were going to do. Right. And so I was starting to get in these cooler positions. And the deal with the baby furniture and all that, I just never really ended up doing it because finally business just started to flow for me.
Yeah.
And I started to get more opportunities. And the same guy I was working on the Queen Anne commercial project with, he was working with another builder previously that did kind of do design build, had a little bit of falling out with the client, and he had a project just sitting there ready to go, a new home, 5-star green home, out kind of in the Apache Shores area by Lake Travis that just was waiting to be built. And had a super OCD client who I love, but she told me, like, hey, if you get this job, I'm going to be the most difficult client you ever have.
And was that true?
She made me work. I mean, she was a really nice lady. She just really made me work at everything, and she was OCD about everything. So it was kind of true. Yeah, I have had some pretty challenging clients, but it was true-ish. And so I got to jump in, got to start that project. It was a great opportunity. I had really started to develop a nice team at that time. And then I just kind of shifted into calling my company Eco Safe Spaces instead of Cameron Construction, because it kind of seemed more along the lines of what I wanted to do and the type of people I was trying, the type of clientele I was trying to attract. And I had already created the LLC for it. And I was like, all right, it's Eco Safe Spaces for the foreseeable future, at least. So we knock out that project. It was a wonderful project and got that 5-star green rating, started to do videos. I had been paying attention to you. We had been talking. You had kind of been mentoring me. And I decided I was just going to do videos like Matt Reisinger.
I love it. So that was the year you got on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. So I did. And, you know, I had great success on that project. It was outstanding. It was a net zero home, all electric. And so, you know, with less than 10 grand worth of solar panels. And, you know, to this day, that woman just loves this, that house.
That's so
and she's
awesome.
Had just, you know, they've never gone positive on her electric bill. And I got to see what was possible.
Yeah.
So it was great. And the downside was, though, I went so hard on that project trying to do such a good job that I had not created any sort of backlog for myself. So I kind of found myself in a situation where I had really done a good job. Everybody was patting me on the back. But I realized, even though I had started a YouTube channel, nobody really knew about me. They didn't know what I was doing. They didn't really get anything. And I wasn't connecting with the people to give me these projects. So I struggled a little bit for that next year. And I remember,
what year is this now?
Now we're probably in, what are we in? Maybe
2015, 2016, 5 years, 6 years ago, 7 years ago.
No, this is over 10 years ago.
Okay.
So
it's still further away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And so anyway, I was struggling and my wife, who's just terrific, she started to come at me pretty hard about getting a job, getting a real job.
Being an entrepreneur or a builder.
I was starting to hear that kind of on the regular, and it was disheartening, to be honest with you. And it was very challenging on our relationship. Hmm. And I remember just kind of being in this spot. I literally, y'all, I was painting paintings, taking them to First Thursday over there on South Congress and selling them
for extra money
to avoid having to go work a real job at Home Depot.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
dang.
It was that bad. But fortunately, I was blessed to have people buy my artwork. Like, I was doing decent selling art. I'd do these huge abstract paintings and bring them out there. And sure enough, I'd sell one every time for at least $500.
That's such an interesting part of your story, Doug, because I think the people watching this that are really going to resonate with this podcast are, you know, I'm 10 years older than you are. There's a whole generation that's 10 or 20 years younger than you are. It just turned 40 recently. That are thinking things like, I'm really creative, you know, I'm stylish, I like colors, I like arranging things, I like building things, but I don't have an architecture degree. I don't necessarily want to do just design and go to school for an architecture. I really want to build things, but I want to have a hand in designing that. You know, I'm very much known as not doing any design work. I am not stylish. I wear the same black shirt and jeans every day. So we're very different. Even though we're like-minded to always wanting to build a really high-performance building, I don't understand, nor do I comment on design, but I've always thought of you as that guy that I didn't quite understand your artistic background, but I've always thought of you that guy that was always stylish and always got the design part of the building that I never really did, and I could never really comment at meetings with any authority anyways, on design. And I sense that there's people that are going to be watching this that are very like-minded to you. And there's a real need in this country for more and more men and women like you to do design build, because not everyone can afford a, you know, fancy architecture firm to do whatever. And some of those fancy architecture firms would never think about doing a $100,000 kitchen and bath remodel, or a $200,000 family room addition, or whatever these jobs are that don't fit into the architectural awards, or, you know, all these other things that some of the awesome architects really are excellent at. But they don't, there's this real need, I think, for people like you that have a grasp for design, but also know how to get things done. And it's also, I'm sorry, I'm droning on here.
Oh, go ahead.
It's also really interesting that you really didn't have any construction background before you got into construction. I'd worked construction from junior high through college and really loved construction, but never thought about it as a career until a national production builder came to campus and there weren't other jobs. And I kind of realized, oh, that production builder job sounds really cool. But I never thought of construction as a career, even though I knew a lot about it and had been around construction for years. And you're the exact opposite. You know, you'd been really focused on all kinds of other things besides construction, including entrepreneurship, which is very common in this country. We're a country full of entrepreneurs. And you said, look, I can do this. This is cool. And with only a short, you know, two and a half year training period, so to speak, underneath other people, you went out and did it. That's huge, man. That's incredible. And
it's the American dream.
It's the American dream. And there's so many builders that are in our friend group that have a similar story, whether it was 2 years or like me, I was 10 years with other builders prior to breaking off and having that chutzpah to say, yeah, I think I could do it. There's so many builders across the country that are the same entrepreneurial spirit as you, and I think are really going to resonate with this podcast in terms of your being able to integrate this whole design side of your personality and artistic side of your personality with the builder get it done side of your personality.
Well, thank you for the compliment. And I always like to tell people that I do art.
Yeah, you really do.
I basically do I do art with hundreds of thousands of dollars, sometimes with millions of dollars.
$1 million art installation.
That's what I do for a living. Like, it's
pretty awesome.
Freaking awesome. I can't imagine doing many things that are cooler than that.
Yeah.
And you know, in terms 100%. Of just kind of jumping in on like what gets me so excited about it, it's I love the opportunity to invoke feelings, right? And so that's what art does to me. And art with construction that can also be functional too, it's just another level. And especially when you tie in like things like energy efficiency and high performance and
health.
Yeah, health. And also the ability to connect with the people actually doing the work, right? Mm-hmm. Where I can speak mm-hmm. Spanish to them or whatever I'm doing.
That's really cool.
To get in the zone with them. So I kind of have to get in the zone. And then we're working on this stuff that is beyond just me now, but it truly is art. And I'm going so hard for the results and the finished product of what I want to see. It's kind of the same thing when I'm doing a painting, which I haven't painted in quite a while. I mean, I just zone in forever. Like, I just mm-hmm. keep going. And until it gets to that right spot, and especially a lot of the stuff I was doing was very abstract, and it gets to that right spot, and I'd see it. I'd be like, oh man, it's there.
That's
oh, wow.
So cool.
You know, and so that's what happens when I'm doing construction now. And we get these moments, like I'm thinking about this tile floor that we did for the original anti-flip. And it was a white terrazzo, large format, like 2x2 tiles. And we cut them into pentagons, triangles, trapezoids. Freestyled the whole thing. We drew it about a bunch of different ways. Freestyled the whole thing. It's my wife, myself, and Nazario, our lead tile guy, and we're out there. And I mean, we're just mapping out beauty. It was beauty, and we did these brass inlays in between it. And you know, I had never done any of this stuff. Like, this is just all kind of on the fly. We're just trying to do it.
That's so awesome.
And it was the most incredible floor I have ever seen in my life. We even put brass Schluter up underneath the wall tile to create this halo effect around each bathroom. And it invoked that feeling. It absolutely invoked that feeling that I was going for. And it's this feeling I love doing stuff that's novel and experimental. So I like people walking into a home that I've worked on, and I love it when they say, man, I've never seen that before in my life.
I love it. That's so awesome.
Right? So that's kind of some of the, an example of some of the kicks and some of the thrills that I get out of doing design build. And to kind of just jump into more what I have been able to position and be blessed with is a fantastic team that, where you're absolutely right. Like, I'm not.
Let me interrupt you for one sec, because a lot of people don't know that you have a whole nother company, which is that logo
right there.
He's got this awesome logo with that looks like a Labrador, but it's not actually.
That's my dog, Ziggy.
That's Ziggy. Yeah, he was
an American Pit Bull.
So Ziggy is the mascot for Render, which is Doug's other company, which is the labor side of what he does. And he's morphed that a little bit over the years, like I have. But he's done everything from self-performing drywall and paint, to cabinetry, to tile install, to framing, to several other trades.
Including a giant terrazzo foundation.
Yeah, the foundation. You've done all kinds of stuff, Doug. We're running short on time, brother. I got to wrap this up. But what I want to end with is you spending a minute talking about what you're going to be doing videos on. Mm-hmm. So you're the newest member of Build Show Network.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about you is no one else on our team, I guess that's not entirely true, Brent Hull up in Fort Worth is doing design build.
I love his videos, by the way.
He's amazing.
Oh, man.
He's such a great teacher. I mean, my vision for Build Show Network is that we all are teachers and we have a little bit different experience and expertise to teach on. And what I love about your expertise and your experience, and it's even fun to I thought I knew you really well, and here I am learning stuff I never knew about you, even though I've considered you a mentee of mine for 15 years, is that you have so much to teach, and you have so much to talk about, both in the design build space, in the customer and client focus space, and running your own crew. But in your own words, as you've kind of thought about some of the videos you've got upcoming on Build Show Network, and Doug will be publishing once a week. I'm not sure what day of the week, but he'll be publishing once
a
week.
Thursdays,
Build Show Network. Give us a little preview on some of the video topics and some of the things that you're going to be teaching on.
Absolutely. So one of the things I've been playing with is my own signature line of cabinets. So we just shot a video not too long ago about that. And so I'll get into that more on the build show. But basically, that's one of the things that I'm really excited about. I'm also going to bring in a lot of experimental ideas where I might not even have this idea completely crafted or figured out in every single way, but I'm going to bring you ideas, which is might be a little bit different than some of the refined principles that are going to be brought by some of the other contributors. And so you'll get to kind of see me in real life experiencing trying to formulate these ideas. And it probably is going to be like a specific detail or something that I want to get into. And again, it's kind of lending to that. I want to create something that I've never seen before. How am I going to do that?
I love it.
I'm also very into sustainability, as we've mentioned. Yeah, so I've got a really fun one coming out on hemp insulation, for example.
Ooh, cool.
And I love prehistoric architecture and just ancient architecture. And so I'm really kind of digging into a lot of building with stone and building forever topics. I'm just really also going to bring that design build mentality and help others, especially that want to do design build or are interested in design build, in orchestrating the right team and getting yourself in the right position where you can facilitate artistry along with many other things. And not to leave out, I am going very hard with this whole anti-flip concept. So I would love to write a book about this one day, but I am going to be doing some really neat speculative builds where I pretty much have carte blanche to do whatever I want. And that's going to be a lot of fun sharing with the audience as well.
And guys, if you want to get the behind the scenes on this guy, Doug is really, really good about sharing his life on Instagram. And it's one of the ways that I've loved, or it's a tool that I've loved using over the last couple of years, getting to know people remotely. So if you're hearing about Doug for the first time, you don't know Doug, you don't know his background, go check out Design Build Doug on Instagram. It's at Design Build Doug. You'll see his picture on there. And funny enough, he's labeled artist is his title. which I think is so awesome. But he's publishing nearly every day on both his feed and his stories. I love how you get your kids in there and your wife. Doug has three kids. He's been married for at least a dozen or more years now. He's very like-minded to me in that he really cares about the people on his jobs. And he cares about doing a job that's not just going to make him money and make his company money, but is really going to be the right thing to do.
That's right. And
I see that throughout the time that I've known you, whether that's taking care of your crew or whether that's taking care of your clients or whether that's not doing a crappy remodel flip because that would be the wrong thing for the neighborhood. And so Doug is a man with principles and with integrity who has a lot to share. And I'm really, really excited, Doug, to have you on Build Show Network.
Well, thank you so much, Matt. It's an honor. And it's really a dream come true to be able to collaborate like this with you. My wife told me a long time ago that we were probably going to end up doing something like this.
And here we are
down the road and we're doing it. And guys, the audience out there, I want to help make you successful in whatever way I can by contributing anything that I've learned along the way, any tricks or, just from trials and tribulations. So I look forward to sharing my life with y'all. So thanks for listening.
Man, we're so glad to have you, Doug. Sign up for our newsletter. There'll be a link somewhere in the description for this podcast, whether you're listening or watching on audio. Every Friday, we send out an email to everybody around 9 a.m. that says, here's what's new this week on Build Show Network. And I always watch those videos the night before. And so I kind of can summarize them. And I send out a video saying, here's what's new. So I'm really excited to give you the summary of Doug's videos. And every single Friday, if you get that email, there'll be a link to Doug's new video that week. And just as a full disclosure, Doug is making money on Build Show Network. It's not a lot of money. It's not enough money to do much more than have a really nice date night with his wife once a month. But Build Show Network for me is a little like what YouTube was for me when I got started. YouTube took me a long time to make a dollar on. But YouTube pays me every month. And I remember the very first paycheck I got from YouTube was, $10, let's say. And then I remember when it hit like $300 a month, I had a kid in private school and I was making like zero money in my business. And it was a huge blessing to me that YouTube would pay me. And so thank you for clicking on those YouTube ads when you do. The same is true on Build Show Network. We run a 15 or sometimes 30-second ad before those videos. So before you watch Doug's video, there's going to be a 15-second ad. They're always like-minded companies that we work with. We don't work with vinyl siding manufacturers or some garbage product that wants to be on there. These are legitimate, solid companies that we really care about their products. Rockwool Insulation is one of them. Casella Dorkin that we are Dorkin. Systems that we've worked with for years on different waterproofing products, lots of different window manufacturers. There's a host of companies, but I want to say thank you for those sponsors and for you being willing to sit through those because everything we do is free. We don't do any content that you have to pay for. And by providing free content, that allows me to have the team behind the scenes. Like I've got Greg and Joey that are behind the cameras here and I've got two nice cameras filming this and nice mics, and I'm able to then pay Doug a little bit of money as well. Really is more of a date night gift than anything, but hopefully that will grow in time. We're not paying Doug thousands of dollars a month at this point. But big thanks to our sponsors and thank you for sitting through that. So full disclosure on that.
Yeah, and I will never sell out to y'all. I just want y'all to know with my content. So y'all don't have to worry about that. And I just cannot get off this thing without saying a big thank you to my wife, Lily. She has been a huge help in my whole life with helping a lot of my dreams come true. And she's just doing such a good job with our business, helping operate and run our business right now. So I just wanted to get that in there. Thank you, Lily.
I mean, behind every great builder, remodeler, architect, tradesman, there's a great spouse, no matter what side of the table you sit on. And that's true of my wife, Christy, as well, who's put up with me for 22 years as of this past weekend. So thank you, Lily, for Doug. All right, y'all, if you're not currently a subscriber, guys, hit that subscribe button below. This podcast, every single week, we're meeting with amazing, talented other builders, tradesmen, other business people, and we're bringing you the best content. And this is content that would be really hard to produce for YouTube, right? And this would be hard to watch for an hour every week, although some of you are watching this now, which is funny that I said that. But on a podcast, I every day get a call from a builder that says, hey, I watched that episode, or I listened to that episode, Matt, that you had XYZ on as a guest, and I learned so much about that. That's so encouraging for me. And so it's fun to be able to meet with a guy like Doug, who took an hour out of his time today from his family and his business to come on and give you this wisdom. And so we're excited to have Doug do that on a regular basis on his short format videos, not his long format here in the podcast. But hit that subscribe button below. We've got new content every week. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. Otherwise, we'll see you next time on the Build Show podcast.